Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas with the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
I think, though, let's start with Zeke, I think. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely, because Jerry Jones, in talking over the last, less than 24 hours, he talked after the preseason game, the finale for the Dallas Cowboys, and then he had an appearance on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. And to sum it up, Jerry Jones is expecting Ezekiel Elliott to miss time. They are looking at this as them being without Zeke as the regular season opens against the Giants next Sunday, according to Jerry Jones. The expectation, no Ezekiel Elliott in the backfield.
Yeah, so one, it looks like my bat, I got plus 160 on that, Fez, do you recall?
I do recall that, yes.
Yeah, so the bet, but it was against the Hitman, though, right? I think that was it. Yeah, so I'm feeling good about that. And to me, here was my rationale. And again, obviously they could sign, but my rationale was, this is unprecedented, the idea of a guy holding out when the team has 2 years left of contractual control, though the fifth year option is one of those years. If Jerry Jones would have set that precedent, it would have been a problem for the Cowboys, but also, quite frankly, every other NFL team. So I'm not sure that this was, hey, the owner's getting together and saying we can't do this, and Jerry's been a leading, owner when it comes to his influence in the NFL. That was my thinking. That a guy who cares about the league as much as Jones wouldn't set this precedent. I guess the question is, and let's go around the table. Fez, you go first. If you had to guess or put an over under, when is Zeke back? What would you say?
I would say week four, RJ, and here's why. If you look at Dallas's schedule, they don't need him probably the first 3 weeks. Dallas is a pretty substantial favorite against the Giants week one at Washington, and then they get the Miami Dolphins. But week four, they got to go to the New Orleans Saints, and they've got some four consecutive difficult games. They need Zeke. They don't need him week one. They need him week four.
I wish we had the tape on you talking about the Vikings, and you said, oh, and then they host the Bills on Thursday. That's going to be such an easy winner, right? Isn't that the premise of the NFL? Is there are no easy winners any given Sunday? I don't think teams think like that. I mean, Jonas, you've been around, being at FSR and being in LA, you've been around training camps, been around athletes. I just don't get a sense professional football players think like that.
No, not at all, because there's not enough games. I mean, if you want to look at the NBA and maybe, we didn't take this serious, that's fine. There's 82 of them. There's always those games in the schedule. But in the NFL, one loss could really change your entire season. Also in college football, the same way.
I agree 100%. And with college football, I think sometimes you're favored by 35, you're going to be flat, right? But we know is what? There's a couple of games a season that are favored by more than two touchdowns in the NFL. So to me, Fez, when you say, and it's interesting you didn't say the numbers. So let's actually double back, because whenever Fez leaves something out, a little hint for the audience, it's almost like a decoder ring with Fez, right? Is it's either he didn't do the work and he's just trying to mumble over it, or he doesn't want the numbers to be the focus. So First 3 weeks, what's the lines?
Yeah, so Dallas is laying 7 against the Giants.
Oh, substantial. Okay, go ahead.
Second week at Washington, Dallas is -3.
Oh, that doesn't seem substantial at all.
No, it isn't. And then week 3, hosting the Miami Dolphins, Dallas -9.
Okay, so, and you're great at this, not necessarily hiding the numbers from me, but you're great at this. You can give me a percentage chance of them winning each of those games pretty quickly, right? So take a minute, scribble it down, and that's what's shocking, even with like a 9-point favor. You know, it's not an OMG if a team loses in the NFL as a 9-point favor. So to me, I think that maybe Jerry Jones thinks like this because he's not a player. I don't think the players do. And I also think it's interesting. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. We're talking about Fezzik here, that I so much would rather Fez had spent his time at Northwestern. Not, in my opinion, a very good school, but still, he was in class, getting good grades, instead of being on the football field. You know, they always say, can an announcer be a guy didn't play, right? Well, Howard Cosell didn't play, so it can happen, obviously. Bob Costas, etc. Buck, right? Didn't play. But on the other hand, I think if you played, it helps, you know? And if you see the Madden, those types, Collinsworth, that as time passes and they get further and further from being inside the game, they're not quite as good. And then you look at Tony Romo, it's like, oh, geez, this guy knows it all. Well, he just said, but Tony Romo 10 years from now will be further away from the game. So in a way, Fez, I think one of the things we need to always try to keep in mind is what is the player's perspective? Because I think sometimes it's not necessarily logical, right? And you're very logical. And sometimes I think you're off when it comes to motivation, especially in football where it's hard not to play hard, right? Or you can get hurt easier. Do you have those percentage chances?
I do, RJ. So they have the Dallas Cowboys have a 70% chance, a 60% chance, and an 80% chance in their first 3 weeks.
Yeah, so that 9-point favorite's 80%.
Yes.
Wow.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
All right, so my thought is, well, let's keep going around the table. Brad, what would you guess?
Similar to Fez, and that's going to be a theme when it comes to the NFL. I would say a little earlier than week 4, though. I'd be more in like week 3.
Yeah. And by the way, whenever Fez shows his truest colors and he's the dirtiest player in the game, that's when I say, guys, you got two choices. You don't have to like this, right? There's evil in the world. We can't dictate that. You can either have that on your side, and evil might be strong. What word would we use for Fez's self-interest? Evil. I'm going to stick with evil. There's evil in the world, but I'd rather have evil not against me, right? I don't want to necessarily be holding hands with it, but I don't want to go against it. So, Brad, you're mighty smart when it comes to that. I'm the same way. Jonas, what's your guess on Zeke?
Week 10.
Now, I think you're on to something here. So what is the week where they get credit for the season?
Week 10. He's got to show up by week 10.
Yeah. So Le'Veon Bell, I think, showed us the playbook, unfortunately, as a Steelers fan on that one. Boy, that seems like a flaw in the system. So you're unhappy the amount you're getting paid on your first contract. You're a running back, so mileage on your legs and your whole body really, really matter, right?
Yes.
So the idea of saying you can play from week 10 on and get credit for the year, and you might say, well, look at the money they're leaving on the table. Well, I think especially that fourth year, it's not that much, right? I mean, relatively. Now, to me, what Le'Veon Bell did as a franchise player, he left a lot of money on the table. But Zeke's contract this year isn't that much. I almost feel like it's a sure thing. And then he'll come. That's like his way of not losing this battle, right? So if a game of chicken, if Jerry Jones doesn't cave, what can Zeke do? He can wait, come back week 10, get his year, and say, hey, I won this because I didn't have to play those nine games. Does that sound right?
It doesn't sound right, but the running backs are in this position to where they've got to use whatever, I don't want to call it dirty tactics, but leverage in order to try and benefit and gain the system. And unfortunately, this is where they're at. And it feels like this has gotten personal, and I think Zeke's going to hold out for the long haul.
And it just goes to show you, whatever you think of Jerry Jones, it's hard to say that he hasn't been as player-friendly. Some people would say too player-friendly, and specifically with Zeke and the suspension and all that, and the idea that Zeke wanted a financial windfall that would have been unprecedented when it comes to when he would have got it by force. Because remember, Gurley got signed at the same point, and boy, the Rams, I you got to wonder how much they'd like to have that one back. And if anything, I think teams' disinclination with running backs to sign them 2 years early, that Gurley thing's just going to accentuate that, I think, and make that more the case. But just doubling back 1 second, Jonas, when I said, does that sound right? I don't mean, is it ethical or is it in the spirit of the game? But as you're thinking about week 10, you envision it's not only the utility of avoiding the miles on his legs with Zeke, but it's a way to make it seem like he won the standoff too.
Yeah, he took it to the end. He took it as far as he could possibly go, and now he's going to make sure he gets credited for a season, and then he'll come back and play.
Yeah, and if anything, if I'm a Cowboy, I mean, that's the thing. If you've got a contract that you love, like Zeke this year, the worst thing to happen would be him sitting out for 9/16 of it, because back in week 10 is the assumption, because you would want to pay him for those 9 games because you're not paying him all that much. Yeah. All right. So last question, Jonas, was there anything on the Gottlieb show on Zeke you gave that you're holding back right now?
No. My whole thing is, I think Dallas, regardless, is screwed. And I say that because Zeke almost needs them to be bad in order for him to gain leverage without being there. And if Dallas is bad without him there and him gaining leverage, then that means they're probably getting poor quarterback play. And if you're getting poor quarterback play, why does it make sense to overpay for a running back if you don't have a quarterback who's playing at a high level? You're not going to win anything anyways. So it feels like this is a no-win situation.
First off, that was the most college logic level type, like that was like four dots to connect in a year. That might have been like your high. Not saying it was your best take, but it was probably the most Fezzik like take. I mean, I understood that, Fez. You understood that, didn't you?
Completely.
I mean, Jonas, you might have been influenced too much here. So I see. I feel otherwise. I think the NFL understands that it is a game of inches, and Dallas could be 5-4, 4-5, or 8-1, and it doesn't tell us or them that much about the team. I do find it interesting, though, to wrap this topic, is Colin Cowherd, Jonas's nemesis. He loves that. He was on, I think it was today, saying the most talented under 25 roster in the NFL. And look how smart they've been growing through the draft, improving. And Jonas, the first chance he gets to freestyle, he's like, man, that Cowboys team, I think they might have a down year this year. So, I mean, it could be a coincidence. I don't think so.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
So, RJ, we had the final batch of preseason games in the NFL on Thursday night, 16 in total, and now it's time to find out the biggest takeaways from the NFL preseason with the season starting next Thursday night.
You know, there's something I just love about all those games on Thursday. You got to figure there's about 200 dudes in their basement, mom's basement, who are like, this is their favorite day. They're figuring out who made the cut, you know, and all kind of things for like 10 teams, right? So I love it, you know, and that's what the NFL does so well, is if you're a high level fan, I think that if you're someone that just watches like 10 games a year, the NFL does that better than any other sport. I mean, think about if you're a high level NBA fan. And when I say high level, I mean more casual, 50,000 foot view type. Well, what would you do in the NBA, right? Oh, maybe watch one of the Christmas Day games, maybe, you know. But the NFL just makes it so easy to dip in and dip out as much as you want. And obviously, you got the hardcore guys, too, and they take care of them also. So, obviously, this is a billion-dollar business for a reason. Speaking of many, many dollars, Fez, we had a great preseason all in all. But let's set that aside for a second, because now it doesn't matter, right? We've got the money in our pocket. But now it's what did we learn? What did we learn about the regular season, the games that matter from the preseason?
And let's start with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I am bullish on the Pittsburgh Steelers. RJ, I think they had a great preseason, and frankly, it was all about not having distractions. No Bell, no Brown. They were just all business, looking really good, and the marketplace is bullish on Pittsburgh. Their season win number has increased from 9 to 9.5, and I agree with that move.
Yeah, so, and you think that move is driven. Now, that's a big move this late, right? Because win totals come out, May maybe?
Yep.
Yeah, so they come out in May, and you got May to June, July, August. Now we're all the way through. That kind of move, if it's a sharp one, usually happens early. In this case, it feels like it's about the play of the Steelers. Now, you've always said the time that it matters is one versus ones. So as you break Pittsburgh down, is that what you're talking about when the first team went against the opponent's first team? Or are you talking about just the team in general, how they did during the four games?
Well, they did well all four games, but you're right. The week three preseason, Pittsburgh annihilated the Tennessee Titans, the ones versus ones in that Sunday night game. So they were particularly impressive in that game.
Okay. And what was the Steelers score in week four?
They were ahead at halftime, and then they lost, and they lost 19-25.
Okay. So I guess if you're the Steelers and you lose, you didn't do well in all four games, right?
Right.
Well, but again, that to me, this is a great example of that distinction. You're thinking ones versus ones, right? And that's when they did well.
Exactly right, and they'd won their first three games in preseason.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so that's number one. You've got what, five of these, right?
I do. Number two, RJ, Carolina Panthers. You know, I'm really worried about Carolina because of Cam's health, and the marketplace in Vegas seems unconcerned. Carolina's season win number has gone up from 7.5 to 8, and after the shoulder injury for Cam, and now he's got the foot injury. So I am disagreeing with Vegas. I've got an arrow down on Cam because of that injury.
Okay, so would you agree that there's a standard amount of let's call it best practices teams that are going to surge this year compared to last year? And usually it's the lucky things or unlucky things that happen to a team. So turnovers, if they go against you one year, the wise guys expect a reversal. It can be injuries, a bunch of injuries, they expect a reversal, and various other things. It feels like Carolina really checks those boxes as much as anyone, where they were much better than their record last year. Would you agree?
I agree. They were 6-2, and then Cam got hurt, and then the whole season went down the drain.
Remember, they were, and the wise guys, the betting market, kept behind Carolina even after almost everyone jumped off. I mean, there were some crazy lines last year. If you looked at the record of Carolina and that they were being considered, let's say, equal to some very, very good teams. So a lot of love for Carolina last year. It didn't show up on the scoreboard. That actually leads wise guys to want to like him even more, because the public might be put off by the record last year. Now, I think we all agree, if you don't have your quarterback, you're in trouble. Now, do you see any connection between a shoulder and a foot? And if not, are we really thinking that this specimen of humanity, Cam, is really injury prone?
Well, I think it's just like Andrew Luck. When you start to have an accumulation of injuries, it's not like Andrew Luck, but you have an accumulation of injuries, RJ, and it certainly has to be a concern, right?
No, I hear you. I think that's a great point, actually. Even Big Ben, I mean, who also a big guy, if you notice, if you watch the Steelers, they made a decision years ago they were going to throw a lot more quick balls, and it's really helped Big Ben. And remember, Cam, his ability to run is a big chunk of his value he brings to the table. As he ages, you got to wonder how much he's going to run and if he's even smart to run. Wouldn't you rather at 85% of Cam healthy but without much running than him not playing, right? So, okay, next team, third team.
Next team, Arizona Cardinals. Major concerns, is Kyler Murray ready? I would argue that he is not in the preseason. His backup, Hundley, clearly outplayed him, and the betting markets are not a believer, at least right now, early in the season. Arizona's home against the Detroit Lions, not a good team. The Lions are laying 2.5.
Okay, so Lions are laying 2.5, and it's in Arizona.
Yep.
Wow. So just doing the simple math, 3 point for home field. So they're saying 5.5 points better Detroit is over Arizona. Now, right now, Detroit's what, 31st in the league if you stack rank the season win totals?
25th.
Okay. So they've actually improved then.
Yeah. Detroit's like right at 6.5 to 7 wins.
Okay. Interesting. Because to me, I got to tell you, we've talked about this, and maybe next week we'll make a point to do a segment on if you're bearish on Arizona like I am, like Fez is, and I think you are too, right, Brad?
Yep, absolutely.
How do you get at it, right? Is it as simple as, you know, fade them the first couple games? Do we like a particular spot? Because I got a feeling if they're as bad as I think, it's going to be a couple of eye-popping scores against them, and then everyone's going to be off it. You know, so we will be amongst everybody thinking, oh, Arizona's bad. Maybe even some of those, you know, pleaser type lines or where we're giving up points. Fez, you thinking getting like a plus 200 payoff?
Yeah, there could be a whole lot of volatility in the results, especially around
here. Well, I think it's a one-sided volatility.
Yeah.
I don't see a lot of 30-point wins. RJ Bo straight out of Vegas talking to Steve Fezzik. We got two teams left, the takeaways of the preseason that apply to the regular season. Team number four.
Let's talk the Oakland Raiders, who have been featured, of course, in Hard Knocks. They've looked great in the preseason. They're 4-0 against the spread. And RJ, the marketplace does not care. The money is coming hard against the Raiders. The Raiders were laying 2.5 hosting Denver week one. Now the line's down to pick them. So think about this. The Raiders have looked great throughout the preseason, but the market's saying, hey, Gruden emphasizes winning in preseason, and that's why they look so good.
Now that's a very sophisticated take, guys. So let me give a very simple analogy. And I think most of you got this, but it bears repeating. Imagine that you could do a 7-on-7 type football scrimmage, and they said you can wear your helmet or not. Most people aren't going to wear it, right? And if you decide to wear your helmet, you know, all the players on the team, the coach decides, it's like, oh, they have a disadvantage against them, a little disadvantage, let's say, okay, because it's, you know, like flag football or whatever, and a helmet makes it tougher. Okay, as Brown has taught us. Imagine the opposite, though. You're the team that says we're going to take it easy, but most of the other teams are making it harder on themselves. You would have to, in both cases, adjust the result to what was, how difficult was it for him, right? And Gruden has made a decision. He wants to win in the preseason. And it doesn't count, but he still wants to win. So what happens? They game plan more. And they're not as vanilla. If you remember that press conference with Murray after the game against the Raiders, he said, why were they blitzing? Why? And he was talking about the game plan. He was trying to make excuses, but I think that was valid, right? The Raiders try to win. So the fact they go 4-0, you got to take it with a grain of salt. It's still better than not going 4-0, but they want to win. And actually, now's a good time to quickly review how our trend added up or ended up. We talked about this, guys, before the first preseason game. And we said we picked four coaches up arrow, two coaches down arrow in the preseason, and they were all five or more net games in that direction. And we said, let's just look at them blind. Well, they started 7-0. At that point, Fezzik, just a slave to his wise guy ways, he said, no way this keeps up. And we negotiated. We said over under 55%. I said these coaches go over that easily, even after the 7-0 start. Fez said, I don't think so. Fez, how did we do?
75%, RJ. 9-3 from weeks 2 through 4, just blindly betting on the coach tendencies.
Now, you missed the show, unexpectedly yesterday. It's interesting because it seems like there would have been a discussion of the fact that no matter what happened yesterday, I was guaranteed to win. So we had a 3-week bet, and literally after 2 weeks, it was over. I mean, it's almost hard to comprehend. But somehow, to avoid that, I'm not saying to avoid that. Some might say that. Why? I'm a little confused why you weren't in the show yesterday.
Couple days afloat for my money, RJ.
Didn't Fez have like an acronym he used to explain his logic?
And then more the same, baby. Yeah, more of the same.
Mott's. And then he went against it right afterwards.
Well, listen, if you try to listen, the thing is, if Fez had an hour and a half to explain it to you, he'd tell you why he contradicts himself so much. Isn't that right, Fez? Last team. Quickly, Faz, 15.
Quickly, New York Giants. We are asking, will Daniel Jones replace Eli? Well, the question now, RJ, is when will Daniel Jones replace him? Jones has been spectacular in the preseason.
But again, how many times was he going against the ones?
That's a good question. I don't have all the stats on
that. I don't think Eli played much in the preseason, did he?
Yeah, Eli pretty much was one series the whole way, and then Jones took over.
So it's got to be against the ones, right? So that might be something, I mean, mostly, right? That might be something to dig into, right? Because, I mean, obviously, if we're going to take those numbers seriously, because we have the all-time type teams, you know, in the preseason that never made the league, right? So, I mean, or never made a starting roster.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.